This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Prehistoric twins are discovered buried underneath a mammoth's shoulder blade. Recent floods in Orkney highlight a theory on Maze House Ditch. And there's a claim that Stonehenge was no place for the dead. Ancient settlements are unearthed in India, and an unprecedented burial of a dog is found in Gohar Tepe in Iran. The skeletons of ancient Indians remain in limbo in South Carolina. And finally, rock tombs are discovered at Giroft in Iran. Researchers uncovered two burials in Austria that contain Stone Age babies. The researchers have unearthed the graves of at least three Stone Age infants that may ultimately help to answer the question as to whether humans interbred with Neanderthals. The rare find from a 27,000-year-old site in Austria includes two bodies that might have been twins placed underneath a mammoth's shoulder blade and then covered in a red pigment. The team discovered the skeletons in two separate burial pits. One uncovered last year contained two infants side by side. A second pit containing a single body was found this year, about a metre from the first. The twins had been protected from the elements by mammoth bone, and they were very well preserved. An incisor from one of the pair indicates they died at the ages of 9 to 10 months. Before this, there were no graves of newborns at all, and it's possible that there are more to be found on this site. Numerous traces of burial practice survived, as all of the infant remains were covered in red pigment, and more than 30 ivory beads lay near the pelvis of one of the presumed twins. The single burial contained an ivory pin, which may have fastened a leather or fur wrapping. The excavators found the remains of an 18-square-metre site in Lower Austria, near where the River Krems meets the Danube. The location contains a well-preserved earth floor and other artefacts characteristic of the so-called Gravettian culture, including a fired piece of clay bearing a human fingerprint. The infant burials were very similar to those for Gravettian adults, whose remains often include mammoth bones and jewellery. What is unusual is the extreme youth of these ones, and the effort taken to bury and decorate the remains implies that the infants or their families were held in high esteem. Studying the Austrian infants for any DNA extracted from them may contribute to the debate over whether or not humans and Neanderthals exchanged DNA. In recent weeks, researchers have presented evidence that humans and Neanderthals interbred when humans left Africa 30 to 40,000 years ago. Human skeletons found in Romania seem to show certain Neanderthal traits, for example, so I hope to hear more of that later. A theory that the ditch surrounding Maze Howe in Orkneys in Scotland was designed to be filled with water has come to the fore, following last month's flooding there. Dr. Colin Richards suggested in the 1990s that 5,000 years ago the ditch was filled with water, cutting off the cairn from the surrounding landscape. This, he said, formed an invisible barrier, isolating the world of the living from that of the dead. His theory was graphically illustrated when the torrential rain left the ditch, which is now a fraction of its former size, filled to the top. Contemplating the idea, Alan Jones, Historic Scotland manager at Maze House, said that if this was the case, thanks to the storms, we had the chance to catch a real glimpse of the site, as prehistoric settlers would have intended to have seen it, which was truly fascinating. A leading expert on Stonehenge based at Bournemouth University has breathed new life into the controversy surrounding the origins of the site. In his new book, Stonehenge, The Biography of a Landscape, Professor Tim Darvill suggests that the ancient monument was a source and centre for healing and was not a place for the dead as believed by many previous scholars. Professor Darvill also makes a case for revellers who travelled to be near the ancient monument for the summer solstice to reconsider. Instead, he believes that those seeking to tap into the monument's power at its most potent time of the year should do so in December during the winter solstice, when our ancestors believed that the henge was occupied by a prehistoric god, the equivalent of the Roman and Greek god of healing, Apollo, who chose to reside in winter with the Hyperboreans, long believed to be represented by the ancient Britons. The basis for Professor Darvall's findings lie in the Pwllheli Mountains of West Wales, where he and his colleague Professor Geoffrey Wainwright have located an exact origin for the bluestones used in the construction of Stonehenge, some 250 kilometres away. The questions most people ask when they consider Stonehenge is, why was it built and how was it used? We have several strands of evidence to consider. First, there is folklore in the form of accounts written in the 14th century that refer to a magician bringing the stones from the west of British Isles to what we now know as Salisbury Plains. It was believed these particular stones had healing properties because in Pwllheli there are many sacred springs considered to have health-giving qualities. The water comes out of the same rocks used to build Stonehenge, and it's well established that as recently as the late 18th century, people went to Stonehenge to break off bits of the rock as talismans. Also around the Stonehenge landscape, there are many burials, some of which have been excavated, and amongst these there are a good proportion of people who show signs of being unwell. Some would have walked with a limp, or even had broken bones, just the sort of thing that in modern times pressures people to seek help from the divine intervention. Dr. Raymond Carle of the University of Wales in Bangor questioned whether finding the remains of sick people in and around Stonehenge actually proves it was intended to be a place of healing. He admits it's a possibility, but whether there is a predominance of sick people buried there, he is yet to be convinced of that one. Professor Timothy Darvall and Professor Geoffrey Wainwright, formerly the head of Archaeology at English Heritage, will expound their new theories further during an open lecture at Bournemouth University on Thursday the 30th of November at 5:30 p.m. when the subject will be Beyond Stonehenge. Admission to the lecture is free and all are welcome. Pre-booking is recommended by emailing bulectures@bournemouth.ac.uk. Or better still, by telephoning 01202-961-0933. That was 01202-961-0933. Recent archaeological findings suggest 3rd century BCE human settlements near the ancient Nalanda University in Bihar, India, and a Gupta period structure built much later in the 4th century CE. A satellite survey at Nalanda last month has revealed ceramics belonging to the 3rd century BCE at Jaffierde, hardly 3 kilometres away from the ancient site. It may still be predated, as further excavation is expected to yield more evidence of ceramics belonging to between the 8th and the 10th centuries BCE. The Archaeological Survey of India has instructed its Patna Circle to identify ancient sites and archaeological remains in a 16-kilometre radius from the ancient Nalanda University site. Satellite surveys last month revealed 3 ancient sites at Jagdishpur, Jaffierde and Rukminstan. The Jaffierde digging could reveal several cultural sequences in the area. The Jaffierde digging had been a long pending project and the Archaeological Survey of India has only recently approved it. Archaeological excavations in Gohar Tepe, Iranian northern province of Mazandaran, led into discovery of a skeleton of a man belonging to the 1st millennium BC alongside a dog which was buried in a jar in the same grave. Human burials in jars have commonly been observed in different historic periods of Iran. Similar examples of jar burials of humans have also been found at Gohar Tepe. However, this is the first time that the skeleton of a dog has been found in a jar. The new discovery has astounded the archaeologists. The skeleton of this man was found next to the large jar, and after the jar was opened, the archaeologists were faced with a skeleton of a dog, most probably owned by the obviously wealthy man. Although evidence suggesting the coexistence of different social classes at Gohar Tepe has previously been identified at this site, this recent discovery further confirmed the mixing of society, at least in death, over 3,000 years ago. The remains of hundreds of ancient people once buried in South Carolina in USA continue to be stored in archives across the state, 5 years after their existence was made public, despite efforts by tribal groups to recover and to rebury them. One set of remains stored by federal officials at the Savannah River site may be as old as 6,000 years. Leaders of tribes with people still living in South Carolina want the human remains returned to tribal groups for reburial, Most American Indians believe the spirits of the dead cannot rest as long as their remains are removed from the earth. But the Federal Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act has created a bureaucratic maze for tribal groups seeking to recover and rebury these long-dead ancestors. State archaeologist Jonathan Leader has custody of the remains of more than 300 individuals, unearthed at different times and under varying circumstances. Tribal leaders say he has worked diligently to cut through federal regulations to allow repatriation of the ancient bones, but his hands are tied by federal law and red tape. Publicity about this issue has made some groups, such as the government and private contractors, more sensitive about avoiding unearthing more burial sites. But many of the remains that are in bureaucratic limbo have been held by the state for decades. American Indians continue to be cautious about dealing with white-led governments. There's an old Indian saying that if you dig up one white person, you'll go to jail. If you dig up 100 Indians, you'll get a PhD. Two tombs carved out of rock were recently discovered at Kaleh Kuchak Mound by a team of archaeologists working at the Jiroft site in Iran. The team began the fifth phase of excavations at the site, which is located in the Halil Rud River area, in late October. Due to their magnificent structure, the archaeologists believe that they may be the tombs of kings who ruled the region. The ancient inhabitants of the region constructed a place like an orthogonal room measuring 2.5 by 2.5 metres. The site has stairs leading to the two cave-like tombs, which had remarkable and beautiful architecture. They may even be the tombs of kings who ruled the region and require further comprehensive study. The team found human hand bones scattered in one of these tombs, and they may have been looted in ancient times. In this phase of the excavations of Jiroft, the team has also scheduled itself to excavate the southern and northern areas, while previous seasons included the discovery of a ziggurat made of more than 4 million mud bricks dating back to around 2200 BCE. Well, that's all for this week, and can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as the UK Heritage Calendar, Library and Guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again next week.